Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about The Host.
It's a newer one.
Yeah, it's newer. What was it, 2006? I should have looked that up.
Yeah,
I know there's a host. There's a movie called The Host from 2013.
2006, confirmed.
And hopefully no one watched the 2013 one, because that's like a teenage movie from the writer of Twilight.
I had heard there was talk. They were looking to remake The Host in America, the host of this movie, but it was like one of those things where then suddenly there are no updates after a certain year that suddenly looks like, oh, maybe it just
isn't happening.
Yeah, just frozen time.
But which is, it's crazy because like we're getting a lot of monster movies now. I'm wondering if that's something that's going to be revisited.
Oh man, it's possible.
Yeah. The first thing that I noticed, well, it's like the first thing you see, or at least I saw, because I watched this on Netflix, was the Showbox logo.
Yeah.
And I wrote down that Showbox logo is a real spaz. That thing. This is a little bouncing ball of the happy face.
Yeah.
Jumping around like a crazy nit.
The way it started in that lab setting. At first was like, is this in English? Because it starts out in English.
Uh-huh.
But it's not. But
did you have Korean subtitles?
You mean Korean lettering?
For when the dude was speaking English, I had...
Oh, I didn't notice.
I had like Korean subtitles, and I'm like, oh.
I watched it on Netflix too, so yeah. We saw the same thing.
And then I realized that the default setting on my Netflix was...
Korean.
That's how to switch it over to English.
You mean even the Korean parts were? Oh, you didn't get to that part.
No.
Okay. They were actually. It started out actually. It was super titles. Like the titles were up above instead of down below, which was like not something I'm used to.
Yeah, because I think that was making room for the
Korean stuff.
The credits. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
My first note I wrote down was. Dumb American wants to dump chemicals.
Yeah, I wrote bad formaldehyde into the sink, which leads to the river. Parentheses Americans.
Yeah,
the guy who plays that guy was on The Walking Dead. Scott Wilson, who played Herschel, by the way.
Oh, okay.
To him, and there's also another great cameo later. The doctor that wants to operate on the guy.
The other dumb American.
Yeah. He's the guy. He's from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Laser. Oh, yeah, Paul Laser of Silence of the Lambs. He's the guy, yeah. The other American.
So the origins are pretty quick, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I like the fisherman and, like, that kind of... Jaws-like thing where it's like at first you don't have to see the monster. There's like the key, like they're like trying to catch it in that little cup.
Uh-huh.
And it's just them looking at it and reacting to it.
Yeah, and then it cuts to kind of where now the monster is big.
Yeah, suddenly it's huge.
And then we meet our hero, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. At first I didn't realize he was her dad.
It was a little tough to figure out because they were throwing out a bunch of stuff like uncle and grandpa.
Right. And it wasn't until he said something like my daughter. And I was like, oh, I guess that is her dad. Yeah. Also, cause like he's got like blonde hair. He's like his hair is like bleached and you don't see that as a dad's kind of look.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess is kind of the point. He's kind of a slacker.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go to his daughter's, you know, career day.
Right.
The monster shows up pretty quick, which is nice. And I like that the reaction of the people is throwing beer cans at it.
Yeah, they throw trash at it. Yeah.
And then they think it's a dolphin. Like, that's a like that's an excuse to throw trash at it. I really like that because it felt kind of real.
It did.
Like, you don't see that.
What is that weird thing? Let's just throw our trash at it.
Yeah, usually people just immediately run afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that little moment of them hucking the trash at it. But then, like, a minute later, you see the creature actually running along.
But wait, before that, there's the cocoon thing, like the way he hangs under the bridge.
Yeah, like
which is just really it's cool. And then he kind of like unfolds and like he always dives in the water like in slow motion. It looks like he has this like smooth unfurling and then dive. I thought it was kind of reminiscent of like in the movie Species when Natasha Henstridge comes out of her cocoon after she's grown up now.
I haven't seen that since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like whenever you're supposed to see that movie,
right? But it made an impression. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
the monster is cool. Like I remind because so when we talked about when we saw Kong Skull Island, we knew this monster was part of the inspiration of the way the skull crawlers moved. And it's It's like there's a great. They have like that kind of puppy like clumsiness when they move on land.
Yeah, like it can't support its own weight. Like the body's so much bigger than the legs.
He's got these crazy, like underdeveloped, like arms further back. Like he's got these big, like crawling, like legs. But then he had these two, like little arms, and those that arm grabs that lady and starts dragging her along.
Yeah, and the hands weren't even like claws; they were like flat, like kind of suckers.
Oh,
they look like they didn't look like claws.
But his mouth is pretty crazy; a lot of gums, and there's like they like to it's a lot. You see a lot more monsters in recent times whose mouths open up, not just like a normal like hinged jaw, the way that.
Kind of like
most monster too,
like a predator or the
It kind of started a lot, I think, with the predator guy, the way he opened all around, and then in the same way, like Shin Godzilla, he now splits his bottom jaw open.
That's like in Stranger Things.
Yeah, and the Thing too, I guess, and the Thing, the Thing kind of opens up. Like when he's the dog and the dog's face opens up.
Yeah.
It was scary that just seeing him moving along the shore of the river, that first thing behind those people.
Yeah.
It actually looked pretty scary. There were some great kind of jump scares in this movie.
Yeah, it felt more like a horror movie, kind of more like Alien or like Pitch Black, where it's not like it's not a monster movie like usually like we discuss where it's like rampaging Tokyo or stomping on buildings.
Yeah.
It's not as big, but it's definitely kind of scary. And what I like is I do like when it's swinging and hanging from the tail, like it seems like that's like a better mode of transportation for it.
Yeah. I think the swinging from the tail someone said that in the commentary they talked about that idea just came from the fact of where they were shooting, and they saw like this bridge had these really great like rafters or something, so then they incorporated because it doesn't it's interesting because it doesn't quite match with how clumsy he is when he's running to then be so graceful with his tail and he's doing his little loop-de-loops.
Yeah,
it's curious because, like, if this is a mutated fish, which is kind of like what I think we're supposed to think he is.
Yeah, it almost looks like a tadpole.
Yeah, it's kind of like or like a coelacanth.
Okay.
Those fish that have like little feet. It's like there's like those kind of like evolutionary link kind of fish. And I was like, yeah, that's interesting. That then where did he pick up being so graceful with his tail, as far as like he's just automatically good at that?
Yeah,
except when he lands on that truck.
I like that part. That part may have been my favorite part.
I like that part too,
because the guys they stop on the side of the road and the dude picks up a dollar at the edge of the water.
Yeah,
the other guy's like, watch out, you know, don't go near the water. And then he pops out from the ceiling. But then he lands on that truck. It's just like thud. Like, I really
that first attack is pretty, pretty great. And everyone's running away. The lady, like, there's that one where everyone runs into that little, like, the little shack thing.
Yeah, like, it looks like a snack shack or something.
Yeah, and they lock the lady out, and she's stuck on the outside. And he ends up running right through the snack shack, and the lady is actually the one that escapes.
Yeah.
The random heroic white guy.
Yeah, I was like, that's the third American in the movie, and he's not as dumb.
Yeah, he's the one, yeah, it's like he's the guy who's got to die, so then our real hero can take over.
Yeah, but I like that they work together using that concrete sign.
Yeah,
like to like hoist it up and kind of drop it on the tail. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It had blue blood. So around here, this is the second time I've seen this movie. First time I saw it, I didn't really know what to think of it. I think I enjoyed it a lot more this time around. But my main issue with this movie is the tone. There's a lot of shifts in tone.
Yeah.
That really throw me off. So the hero loses his daughter. He accidentally grabs the wrong hand in the chaos, which I thought was kind of a cool, like it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
It's, you don't expect it.
Yeah.
And, but then the girl gets taken and, everyone assumes that she's dead.
Right.
And so the family comes together for the first time and they're mourning the loss of this girl, but it's like really cartoony. Like they're crying. They're like, they're all like flailing on the ground and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I feel like this is supposed to be like comedic, but like the scene before was very serious.
Right.
It was a little rough for me to kind of figure out what they were trying to do. I felt
that seemed like a bit much. They were all in the fetal position,
like just yelling. Bawling. And then like I'm almost immediately after that, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing. But then after that, a dude in a hazmat suit comes walking through the crowd and he slips and falls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I like that. But I'm
he
like.
He slips, catches himself, and then he gets up and then he continues. So in a way, it's like. I really like that moment for that particular guy. That's Manager Cho or something, right? Mm-hmm. Because in a way, he's like the human villain in this movie. Because he's also the one later who, when they're trying to sneak in.
Uh-huh. They give him the coins.
And he gives him the coins. Coins that he keeps behind the boar head.
Another thing that I really liked with that part was everyone wants to know what's going on. And so he says, it's on the news. And he turns on the TV.
Yeah.
But it's not on the news. like, and so he's like flipping through the channel and he's like, oh, forget it. But it's funny because you know how that old like kind of TV or movie trope where they turn on the TV and it tells you exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like the radio from Gilligan's Island. Like it tells you exactly what you need to know for the plot.
It's I like that it also had the thing where it's in a sense like it made it seem like there was like secret information that they had that they didn't want. He didn't want to say the wrong thing in that situation. So he says, just go with what's on the news. Cause he's not like in charge of the publicity side or whatever. Let's say he's like,
the family.
By the way, you know where that guy got all those coins in his bucket?
Did they say it?
He peeled them off his face. You know, he's asleep on the coins and all the coins are stuck to his face.
Yeah.
That must be how he sneaks him out of the he sneaks him out of the snack stand.
I like that this family is a family of screw ups.
Yeah, someone I came across these people talking about this movie, and they liken the family dynamic to the Royal Tenenbaums, and that's a pretty good analogy. Yeah. Like, you know, one is like an athlete, another one is like they're all different versions of, you know,
An athlete that kind of had a meltdown on TV.
Yeah, the dad who, you know, hasn't been there for everybody. And It's pretty good. There's like the one scare that I have one of the scares written down is the can to the phone. Like there's like the can of like some kind of like seafood or something, and he's like sticking his fingers in it. And then is it that the phone rings? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
There's the
because it vibrates. It vibrates on the end table, the nightstand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go, oh. Yeah, there's some of those were really good. There's like another one where like the monster I think goes after is about to get someone or something, and then it cuts to them screaming because they're watching TV.
Yeah, they're watching the
contest.
The archery contest.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
Yeah,
I got it. Oh, so it was hard to tell like when if the monster was spitting people out or eating them. Like when he grabbed the girl. And then we were on the other side of the river. I was like, did he just spit out the white guy? It was hard to, like,
figure out exactly. I thought he grabbed the girl by the tail. He had her by the tail.
He carried her. He carried her across.
Yeah.
Just holding on to her.
Yeah. And there was a dude in its mouth. I think that's what it was.
You kind of get the idea right at the beginning that because she screwed up and took too long to shoot her arrow, that... that's going to be crucial to defeating this monster.
Yeah.
She's going to have to shoot the arrow at the right time.
Yeah. It's, but I I didn't expect her, because it does pay off, but I didn't expect her to use, like, the competition bow and arrow. As she used it just like she would in competition. It wasn't, like, as a fast-paced action sequence. It was her doing exactly what she should do, but just letting go sooner. So we find out the girl's alive still, and that the monster is storing bodies.
Yeah,
it's kind of been like kind of regurgitating them into a sewer, and that's kind of similar to the skull crawlers, where the skull crawlers like spit up some bones.
Well, there's that one part where the monster just throws up so many bones.
Yeah,
that was my favorite part. Just all these bones, just pile, just kind of come out of his mouth.
Yeah. The escape from the hospital I thought was very fun, because that's when you really realize that they're kind of morons. Like, they're almost like the Three Stooges, the family. There's something about them where they're constantly doing stuff, and they hire someone to, you know, get a van and pick them up, and the police are chasing them, but then they leave the sister behind, and she's running around. I thought that was all pretty fun.
Uh-huh.
And then when they do cross, they cross through the barricade. They're pretending they are part of these trucks that are shooting off some sort of pesticide.
Yeah.
I did like that the dude was running behind the truck to disinfect himself from the virus.
With car exhaust? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And then there's this like thing where it's like... when they're hunting in the sewers. By the way, they're really reckless with the way they handle guns.
Yes,
they're pointing them at each other. Like they clearly don't know how to respect the business end of a gun.
Yeah,
and then they shoot off, and then we get this moment with this boy and this man, and the guy.
The boy is a piggyback
on his shoulder, and the guy says, "Did you pee?" And the boy says, "Because the bang's a little." and then it feels like I go, "Wait a second, is the plot going to shift to these two?" Because then suddenly we follow these two, and they raid a snack shop to steal food.
But I think they raid their snack shop.
I'm guessing it is theirs too. Yeah. But it does seem like this is kind of like essentially this river is like the equivalent of like a beach where like there's a bunch of little random places to get snacks along the way.
Uh-huh.
And the way that they know the mats by number when you kind of establish like the people in Mat A were complaining because they were counting the legs on their squid and they're one short.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of like, oh, so this is kind of like this. It's almost like a resort area kind of quality to that thing at the beach. So this whole thing of, like, I was like really curious about this thing. They called it Siori.
Okay.
It sounds like sorry. Mm-hmm. And I wanted, because like they referenced that, and I was like, what does that mean? Because I was wondering if it was like if it was a version of the word sorry that was kind of like adopted. Mm-hmm. In a way, because it's like, I gotta steal food, so sorry. But apparently, this is a cultural thing that was basically stealing for the purpose of mischief, like stealing for fun, basically, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Is like a cultural thing. It started like in more rural, like stealing like a melon from like a farm and things like that. But anyways, that's what that is.
Yeah, the way they made it sound made it seem like they did it like it was okay to steal if you were hungry.
Right. There's this part where the grandfather is given this whole long speech.
Yeah.
And everyone falls asleep on him.
Yeah.
And that's the one where he's telling about how the father, you know, is a smart guy, but has just kind of been a bit of a slacker.
Yeah, because he wasn't there for him. The grandfather wasn't there for him, and he didn't get enough protein.
Was that what he said?
That's what he said. I wasn't there. He didn't get enough protein, and so he became dumb.
Oh.
So he kind of blamed himself, I guess, for it. Like,
okay.
And also for not being there. But that's when the monster shows up and attacks the snack shack.
Yeah. The quote from in the speech where he says, "I spend most of my day in that small food stand with them. So whenever he farts, I can tell right away if he's in B- or A+ condition." And so I'm like, okay, what? How? How does the fart do it? How does he get that from a fart? Is it the fact that he farts? Is it like he's got an A+ fart?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's what I guess we have to chalk it up to some of the unanswered questions of the host.
It's the translation.
So
rock solid, are we?
Oh, that's got to be spot on. Oh, I know B- and A+ is the same because the word is pretty much the same in both. You heard it.
Yeah.
I heard him say B- and A+. And so they shoot the monster and he falls off the shack. But because I had paused the movie to write down the fart quote, I knew we still had like an hour left to the movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, again, I know this isn't the end either because I had to write the fart quote down. Another one of these, like there's moments that, like, kind of like the moment where he goes to grab the wrong hand is the moment when the grandfather goes to shoot him with the guy's rifle.
Yeah.
Goes to shoot the monster, and there are no bullets left.
Yeah.
And it's this really great, quiet moment where he turns around and he just waves them away. Like, he waves them off.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets killed pretty brutally.
Yeah. He gets his head smashed on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, you know, a moment I really liked was when they talk about Agent Yellow.
Uh-huh.
And there's that, like, contagion scene on the street where everyone's sitting there waiting for, like, a bus. Uh-huh. And the one guy's coughing and everyone kind of moves away from the guy.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy spits into, like, a puddle of water. And then a car goes by and splashes all that water on those people.
Yeah.
It was each little moment in that was so great and so well, you know, just delivered.
Yeah. Like the comic timing and editing was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
And the reactions from the lady who sees the guy coughing and then she taps the guy she's with and they kind of edge.
Then the wide shot of them moving over. And the reaction to what he just spat in the water, like, oh. And then the car, yeah, the splash is so good.
So the dude, after the dad dies, or the grandfather dies, the dad ends up captured because everyone thinks he's got this virus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that I'm just like, what is going on? Where the dumb American doctor diagnoses him with the virus in his brain and decides he's going to give him a lobotomy.
Right.
Or take the virus out through the brain. But like, while this is going on, the anesthesia wears off and the guy hears that there's no virus, but they decide to do the surgery anyway. It's really strange.
Wait, now is that the scene where he puts his phone in his mouth, or was that in the earlier one?
It does in the earlier one.
Yeah, this is kind of weird.
It feels like a scene that you would see like as a deleted scene on like the extra features and be like, oh, well, I'm glad they didn't need that. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad it was taken out, but it was in.
Meanwhile, the girl who's trapped in that thing. So the monster, the kid who peed on his dad.
Yeah.
The monster kills his dad, but the kid is there. Like, so it's the girl and that kid now that seem to be kept alive. This whole time, by the way, this whole thing trying to figure out why did he keep these kids alive? And I keep waiting for the title, the host, to pay off in some kind of sense. Like he's going to somehow lay his eggs in them, or I don't know. I keep trying to figure out why is it called the host?
I think early on that they said that the monster was a host to the virus.
To the Agent Yellow?
No, just the virus. The Agent Yellow was the...
Oh, was the cure.
Was the thing that was going
to
kill it.
To defeat it. Right. Oh, okay.
But I kept wondering if it was going to be called the host because he kept bringing people to dinner.
The monster?
Yeah. He was setting up people like a dinner and the kids were still alive. So he was like the host of the dinner party.
And he was trying to give them bones to eat.
But the, But I think the kids stayed alive because he kept the dad or the man in the mouth and was holding the kid by the tail.
So he can
only carry two at a time.
Right.
And so that's how the girl was able to live because she was in the tail.
So she makes a lat, like a rope with all the clothes, ties them all together.
Like a grappling hook.
And throws that thing. And so, and the monster's like sleeping in there.
Yeah.
And she does this like this run up the monster's back and catches the rope. And she's hanging there. And it's like this kind of like this tense moment. And then there's like a spider crawling on her. And she's like looking at it, and that's just like I think just there to like kind of add a little more suspense, like oh no. And then she's like frozen in space, and then you realize he's like grabbed her. That was pretty cool. I like that bit.
And he just like slowly laser down.
And yeah, and it's like, and then she goes to make a break for it, and that sets him off. Like he kind of like he's okay. Like yeah, he just kind of like keeps him there. Yeah. And it isn't until they start doing something that he goes after him.
Mm-hmm.
There's the part where, like, he's got her arms, like, hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of sequences I like. The uncle finds a friend who can trace her cell phone, the girl's cell phone.
Yeah.
And so they go up to the office building, but it's really a trap, so they can capture him and claim a reward. I liked all of that.
Yeah, the escape. And it's also cool that after... they talked about how like back in the day they're real into like protesting and stuff like that. And so his friend was like in a way another protester with him. And so then after he escapes and he's running away, his friend like raises his fist, even though he was the guy who's basically turning him in.
Yeah.
He's still kind of rooting for him.
Yeah.
I liked the people wearing the free Park King Doe shirts. That was great.
And then we get what we think is a payoff to the archery thing when the sister, the aunt, goes into the sewers and the monster is running right at her.
Uh-huh.
And she has the bow and arrow like ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, she's going to let go of it in time.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't. She gets knocked out into the sewer.
Right. That giant yellow pod, the giant pod that had the Agent Yellow stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
One of the persons said that it was made to look like the way the monster looks when he's hanging, resting.
Yeah, I thought it looked like that.
Yeah.
It also looked like a banana.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't clear on how much damage that did. It said that it hurt the respiratory system, and some people were like getting affected by it immediately, but the people like the family of heroes didn't. And I didn't, yeah. I was like, how come they're not getting affected? But then I started noticing that their ears were bleeding.
So they made a huge practical monster too. Like it wasn't all CGI because he's got to reach into it.
Yeah, grab the girl. The girl's inside.
Yeah, and she comes out with the kid in her arms like Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't make it.
Yeah, the monster's suffering. You see the monster's like, he's in there. He's struggling and suffering. And then there's like this fish pops out. Uh-huh. And I was like, did he pop out of the monster or did the monster, no, the monster stayed there. Like I was like, did the monster go back to just being a fish for a moment? Uh-huh. And then suddenly you saw it. This fish, this random fish just kind of showed up. And then the big sequence with the brother who's going to throw a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
And Butterfingers, he drops it.
Yeah. I kind of expected him to. Because the hobo guy that he befriended was just pouring gasoline off of the bridge. Like,
yeah,
onto the monster and into its mouth. And I'm like, oh, man, that girl should shoot a flaming arrow. Like, that's the one thing that hasn't been paid off was the girl.
Yeah, we were waiting for it. I didn't quite get that hobo guy. It's like he came out when like, did he come out of a van? And I was like, is this guy in disguise? Yeah, it was I didn't know where.
I think he was just some random guy.
Yeah, I didn't quite, you know, figure out, like, why is this guy in the group now? And then, so then she shoots the arrow and he lights on fire. The fire, it was that CGI fire, and it kind of wasn't great. But, yeah, it was interesting that the girl dies.
Yeah.
And then he ends up basically adopting the kid.
P-boy.
And he's not blonde anymore. I guess that's supposed to symbolize he's not a slacker anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, when he's cooking for the kid in that little shack room, and the kid's asleep. Mm-hmm. And the moment he says that the food's ready, the kid is wide awake. There was absolutely no wake-up, you know, process for that kid. And then it ends with the monster sound.
Yeah, so maybe that fish at the end that got coughed up was a baby. Maybe it was a little baby one. Maybe it wasn't a fish.
Yeah, that's basically that movie. I mean, the IMDb has a credit for the voice of the monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, so some guy did... At least some kind of parts of that. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked the jump scares in it. And there's also this kind of graininess to the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really had, like, some... Like the color or the filters that it was used. It was pretty... it had kind of a cool look as far as the general film quality.
And it was different. It was... There's something... It's kind of fun that it's, like... Not like anything we've watched before.
Yeah, nothing's been scary.
Yeah, and I do see the influence on the skull crawlers.
Totally.
From Kong. But yeah, it was a totally unique creature. It kind of reminded me of those things that you would ride in Golden Axe. You ever play Golden Axe in the arcade? Yeah. There's like a little, creatures kind of look like that. They have like a big body, a long tail, and like a beak. But I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it a lot more this time than the last time. Because I think last time I was probably looking for something else. And this movie is definitely different. But yeah, that's all I have for this.
Me too.
I liked it. I'm glad I watched it again.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good to kind of like get, you know, see something. You know, it's cool. It's, you know, there's still like big monster movies that are still pretty great and still being like done. It gives us good like things to split up. Mm-hmm. The Godzilla stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Golden Axe now. There's some weird things you're supposed to ride on.
But you, like, see how they're kind of like that? They're kind of like
parrots. Yeah.
next episode, we're going to be discussing Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla from 1974. And I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I've never seen this.
I can't wait to talk about that. Until then, you can go to kaijupod.com where you can see the monster list. The monster movies, and it has all our episodes and links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So until next time, I'm gonna go eat some ramen.
I'm gonna go take a nap on some coins.